This meeting is now being recorded.
Well, I would like to welcome everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to the new GTLD Subsequent Procedures Subteam Track 1 Overall Process Support Outreach Issue Call on the 9th of January, 2018. In the interest of time today, there will be no roll call. As a reminder to all participants, please state your name before speaking for recording purposes, and please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I will turn the call over to Sarah Bakke.
Thank you, and this is Sarah Bakke for the record. Can everyone hear me okay? Perfect. So thank you all for joining us today for this call. Start off with, we'll go over our agenda, but first I'm going to see if there's anyone that has an update to their SOI for the new year. If you, please raise your hand or make a note in the chat. Okay, seeing no hands and no one typing in the chat, I assume we're all up to date. As part of our timeline for the January-February 2008 timeline, we're going to be completing our review of our work track recommendations that we've been discussing. And so today, our recommendations that we have up for review are going to be the clarity of application process, application fees, and time permitting, we'll start reviewing the variable fees as well. We also have a little bit of time for discussion of any other business if there is. So if anyone has any items that they would like to put on the agenda, please raise your hand or put it in the chat. I'm seeing none at the moment, but if anything should come to mind or come up during the call, please just put it in the chat and we'll be sure to note it for any other business at the end of the call. And finally, I'm going to note that our next meeting will actually be next week. We usually have been on a two-week rotation, but due to, I think there's a staff retreat and then we have a few industry meetings at the end of the month, NamesCon, and I think ICANN has something going on in Los Angeles. So we're having our next meeting next week. That'll be Tuesday, January 16th at 20 UTC. So hopefully everyone will be able to join us then as well. So getting into our first topic, it is clarity of the application process. Should be page 18 in this Word document. Yes, so if you go to page 18, and this document basically provides an outline of the information that was provided to us from the final report, sort of our what we're tasked to do, and then the discussions that we've had. So that's sort of the breakdown of it. So first for the overview, just quick highlights. The 2007 final report recommended that the new GTLD application process provide clarity and certainty to potential applicants. And while it was generally agreed that the application guidebook is the proper vehicle for implementing, for implementing the new GTLD policy recommendations, once the application submission process began, there were elements of the program that appeared to be developed on an as-needed basis. Some examples would include the processes governing clarity or clarifying questions, change requests, customer support, and application prioritization, among other things. And then the we have been tasked to provide some clarity and guidance as far as the application process is concerned. So there's really not any policy, I don't believe, that we're looking at here. It's just most of what we've discussed have been ways to improve this process. So if you continue to scroll down, you'll see the discussions that we have had to date, which are on page 19, sort of towards the top. We'll pause in here to see if there's anything in the chat. So again, looking at the discussions that we've covered, general support basically for the application guidebook and all associated processes and policies, having them finalized before the next application period opens. People don't want to have any unleft items hanging out there prior to the next application period starting. We need to also discuss needing to minimize changes to the application guidebook and or application processes once the application process starts. And for changes that are made after applications are being submitted, need to have a mechanism that allows the impacted applicants an opportunity to receive either a full refund or to be tracked to a parallel process that deals with that issue directly without impacting the rest of the program. Another item we discussed was the enabling multiple applications in one account and streamlining the answer submissions. So needing to create a way for an applicant or an RSP to answer questions once as opposed to answering the same question over and over again for each individual application. So having a means to provide answers for every application it supports, a means to provide answers to questions and have it disseminate across all of the applications being supported. Excuse me one second. Sorry about that. I needed to cough. Then there was also some discussion regarding the public at large not really having a lot of insight into the clarifying questions and needing to bring those into the open and making it so that applicants had a better sense of what those general questions were being asked repeatedly, and just have a little more transparency there. And, of course, the application prioritization was viewed, while being viewed as largely irrelevant, could have been improved, and so it may be beneficial to have ICANN look at ways that they could potentially improve efficiencies. And there was also a note regarding the lack of invoices, which has come up in some of the other topics as well, as far as going blank as to the other topics. But it has been an item that has been mentioned previously. So pausing here again, if you scroll down a little bit further, I think at the bottom of page 19, you will see the consensus items. And this is sort of a summary of where we think we are as far as based off of all of these discussions that we've had, what our recommendations could be. And I see Jeff has put something in the chat. He says, on the clarifying questions themselves, this is a topic that WorkTrack 4 is working on. They are trying to find a way to create better questions in the application form so as to minimize the amount and type of clarifying questions that need to be asked. That's excellent to know. Thank you, Jeff. And I see Cheryl is typing as well. I'll give her a moment. Oh, Jim has raised his hand. Jim, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Sarah. It's Jim. You know, something we talked about today on the plenary was the registry agreement being finalized. Is that is that included or encompassed in the language here that says associated processes and policies, or is that a separate document?
What part are you referring to? I'm sorry.
Sure. In the under consensus items, it says applicant guidebook along with all the associated processes and policies must be finalized before the application period commences. During the plenary meeting earlier today, we talked about you're trying to have the registry agreement, locked down and finalized prior to the application window opening. So would the registry agreement itself be considered part of what this consensus item here is talking about? And I see Jeff has answered it in the chat.
Yes. And Jeff has raised his hand as well. Jeff, if you'd like to go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks. The agreement's going to show up in a number of different places. Sorry, this is Jeff Newman. So that's one of the items that's included in this statement here, as well as, I'm sure, well, it's already in the 2007 policy, and that in WorkTrack 2, they will also make the same recommendation. So I think we'll see that in a number of different places about having the guidebook, the agreement, and other types of, like, PDT testing and those types of things that would impact applicants/registries finalized prior to commencing the application period.
Thank you, Jeff. Sarah Bakke for the record again. And Jim, I see you have your hand raised again. Please go ahead.
Yeah, it's Jim. Just to come back on that, yeah, that's good to hear, Jeff. Maybe a suggestion would be to explicitly call out some of the items that you just listed so that people know what is covered in there or what may not be covered. Just because, I don't necessarily know if people would, immediately associate, especially newcomers, would immediately associate the applicant guidebook with the registry agreement. So may want to call that and other things out specifically so it's a little clearer, but thanks for the clarification.
Great. Thank you, Jim. That's a good idea. And Jeff is noting that as well, to spell out the associated document. So we will make sure that we do that. So then going back to this consensus item, as we've just discussed, the application guidebook along with all of the associated processes and policies must be finalized before the application period commences. Any changes to the application guidebook or application process should be minimized. However, when changes are necessary, a mechanism that allows impacted applicants the chance to either receive a full refund or be tracked into a parallel process that deals with those issues directly without impacting the rest of the program. And then having a system that allows an applicant to streamline their answer submission by allowing for the dissemination of information across applications associated with the applicant. So those are the consensus items that we've sort of teased out from this above discussions that we've had. Based on this, do most of the folks here on the call tonight think this is pretty accurate? Do you support it, or do you think there are other aspects that need further discussion? Donna, do you have raised your hand? So please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Sarah. Donna Austin from Newstar. I'm just wondering how are we going to reflect these as points within whatever report that we provide. Are these principles? Are these guidance? Are they I'm just unclear about, okay, we've had some discussion around them and we believe we've reached consensus, but are these, how are they going to be portrayed in any report? Thanks.
Thank you, Donna, and I will let maybe Steve weigh in. I was under the impression that they were going to be presented as recommendations, but I could be wrong since I'm new to this. So, Jeff, I see you raised your hand, so please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. I think, Sarah, when you said recommendations, I think that's right. So these will be recommendations, but I'm kind of curious, Donna, in your mind, or you must have something in your mind as kind of a delineation between principles, recommendations, guidelines. Can you just spend a minute to talk about, you know, what's behind your question, and maybe that'll give us a better idea that we might need to say or how to frame it?
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. I don't know that I don't have any. Preconceived idea in my mind, but it just wasn't clear to me about how these would appear in a final report. So these are just recommendations for how the process could be enhanced in any future round. So is that a correct understanding of where we're going with this?
Yeah, this is Jeff. I think if I could just respond to that, I think that's right. With respect to these items in particular, they would be recommendations. I think you know, there'll be certain other areas that there'll be firm policy, more instructions as GNSO policy. But I think for these items, since they're mostly procedural, they're recommendations to the staff when they implement the program.
Thanks for that. Just to follow up, I think it's probably maybe where I was going with this is that, you know, we need to delineate between what's a policy recommendation and what's just a recommendation for improvement in procedures or processes. So I guess that's what I was unclear about. So thanks for that.
Thank you, Donna, and thank you, Jeff, for weighing in there. I see we have a note from Justine in chat asking how might possible categorization of application types be factored into 4.2.6, which is the clarification process, if at all. I don't know if Jeff would be able to weigh in on this as well. He might be better at answering this than myself.
Yeah, thanks. So certainly to the extent that we do have application types, and whether that's just the ones that currently exist or whether we add, or I should say, and whether we add future ones, that I think all of that fits squarely within this to the extent that, you know, each category or application type, it needs to be clear. What are the procedures for applying? What are the evaluation criteria? What are the, you know, if there are any different pre-delegation requirements, what are the different contractual provisions? What are the different launch requirements, et cetera? So I think this does apply across the board. And so those are things, if you look at the plenary chart that's out there for application types, you'll see columns in some of the tabs on each of the specific points that would need clarity prior to finalizing the discussion on those categories. So to the extent we still have a brand TLDs, let's say, we are going to need to finalize the criteria by which brand TLDs will be evaluated for that category. The agreement provisions you'll have to agree to, the delegation requirements, et cetera. So I think it squarely fits in.
Great. Thank you, Jeff. Does anyone else have any questions or comments? I see that Krista has noted that the application guidebook section refers to audience-driven sections. Let's know as well. Just pausing here to see if anyone else has any more comments before we move on to application fees. All right, great. Well, thank you, everyone, for your feedback. It was very, very helpful. We just seen this typing. I'll give it 1 second. Justine has said, thanks, Jeff, and it does not merit a need to be bookmarked for refinement post-discussion on categories then. So that's a question to you, Jeff. I see that you're typing in the chat. And Jeff has said to Justine, right, it applies across the board. Great. Thank you, everyone. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to my co-chair, Krista Taylor.
Thanks, Sarah. It's Krista for the record. Just following up on what you were saying, I'm not sure if we need to come back to this topic, or is there any, does anyone feel the need that we have any other items that we should address in it besides adding more details on what the documents should be included are, just out of curiosity and for our own planning sake. Silence, so I guess everyone's okay with this topic and can't think of anything that we need to add or come back to in the future, but if you do, maybe, or if anything comes up during the call, maybe just note it so that we can kind of figure out exactly where we're at. In the meantime, I'll jump into application fees, which is on page 23. I'll give everyone a second just to get there. Alternatively, you can search by 4.2.10 and get only a few results. So just going for a little bit of background on it. Sorry, I jumped myself. The new GTLD program was designed to be revenue neutral, which is in support of the implementation guideline B. And we did discuss this quite a bit, so it's kind of interesting to come back to it. The application fees will be designed to ensure that adequate resources exist to cover the total cost to administer the new GTLD process, and application fees may differ for applicants. So then we have a definition of what the application fee is set to recover. So it's set to ensure that the program is fully funded and revenue neutral and is not to be subsidized by existing contributions from ICANN funding sources, including generic TLD registries and registrars, CCTLD contributions, and RIR contributions. Going into some of the questions related to the subject that we will kind of have to do,
One of the aspects was it was difficult to predict the costs and the volumes of the applications, and that there were a whole bunch of elements that were evaluated. We already, when we were given the task, they suggested that the working group might want to look at ICANN's costing model and maybe re-examine it because of the sizable surplus at that time was around $89 million. And that included the litigation portion, which was largely unspent. Then it goes on further saying it felt that the relatively high cost of applying led to a number of issues, many of which have been identified in the community discussions, and whether the 185 was a deterrent to applicants, from developing nations, not-for-profits, and other with limited financial resources. And also might have led to the perceived lack of diversity. And that was in discussed in the consumer competition, consumer trust, and consumer choice report. So it goes into fee reduction programs, and but also to having to not allow or have taken advantage of if the fee is too low. And it goes on further into developing countries. And finally, it kind of ends off on that there was a lack of invoices, which were a challenge to a lot of companies. So jumping on to the next page, which is page 24, I think some of the highlights here, which I've obviously highlighted, are pretty much as some of the items we haven't really discussed all that much, where all the applicants essentially paid the same amount regardless of the complexity of their evaluation, notwithstanding additional cost for optional program elements like community priority evaluations, objectives, objections, et cetera. And, of course, part of this is in the variable fees section. And then finally it said ICANN is committed to evaluate the accuracy of its costing models for subsequent procedures. It may also need to account for significant changes to the program stemming from policy development, operational changes, or other channels. And they give an example of the creation of different application types and corresponding application tracks or the creation of an accreditation program that may require consideration in evaluating the costing methodology. So jumping into the next section where we've had our discussions, I think most of this is kind of summarized in the consensus to date, which I'm going to jump to first, and then we can always jump back to kind of our discussions previous. So our consensus to date has been to follow the cost revenue or revenue cost neutral principle while improving application fee accuracy. Setting a floor amount helps to ensure ICANN is not unexpectedly put in the position where demand is so high that fulfilling the workload risks the stability of the organization. Additionally, setting a floor amount reflects a serious commitment of owning a valuable piece of the Internet, helps reduce speculation and abuse while protecting the security, stability, and competition between rounds. Additionally, it mitigates the risk of overall round financial shortfall. And we discussed this quite at length, and hopefully everyone will provide some feedback on this if I've got it right. The application fee amount will be dependent upon, A, if the application costs are less than the floor value, then the application fee amount becomes the floor amount. When the floor value becomes applicable, then any access funds are not redistributed back to the applicants, but distributed as described below. And then B, if the application costs are greater than the floor value, then the application fee amount becomes the revenue cost neutral amount. And so in this instance, any excess funds are redistributed back to the applicants. So I tried to do a horrible type of chart to try to make it easier to understand in case my language needs some assistance, or to just kind of make sure that the concept is right, and I can always, or we can always rewrite the description a little bit clearer if necessary. So I did a little chart there that hopefully will help in kind of describing the above. So going further, excess funds resulting from the application costs versus the floor, item A, should be distributed back to the applicants or used to benefit another category. There's a spelling mistake there, sorry. And those other categories were, we discussed this, was support general outreach. And the question is, do we want to be more specific there on what that general outreach should be? To support the GTLD program, return excess fees to applicants, the application support program, and top up any shortfall in the segregated funds as described below. So to help alleviate the burden of the overall shortfall, a separate segregated fund should be set up that can be used to absorb the shortfall and topped up in a later round. The amount of the contingency should be predetermined value that is reviewed periodically to ensure its adequacy. So based on that, I guess what we haven't addressed, or I'm not sure even if we want to address, I came up with some questions. So are there any other restrictions or methodologies that we want to add to prevent warehousing of TLDs? We have the concern of ICANN becoming a registry of registries. Wait, I might have got that reverse there. My apologies. And I think we're okay with that by our last discussion, but I just wanted to be sure. Then we had an action item to attain a sanitized version of the risk assessment report and review for any implications. We had an assumption regarding round one, and the excess funds may be a moot point after all costs have been considered. We actually, we brought this up in the last call, and we were discussing on the different amounts. And the question was, perhaps there was an Asian perspective on the application fee amount. Not putting anyone on the spot, Michael. And we also had the discussion on what happens if the revenue cost neutral amount results in a refund that is greater than the floor value. So how would we differ from that amount? So would that just be that little in between the cost floor amount and the revenue neutral amount, or would it be the entire amount? And two more questions. In the variable fees, discussion on how to allocate long-term investment costs was brought up. And do we want to include a portion of this into how the excess funds could be used? And then any considerations or implications if we move to continuous rounds? So I know that's probably a lot to consider, but any feedback on what are good questions or bad questions, do we want to address them, do we not want to address them, in future calls, I think would be really helpful for us to drill down. Alan, I see you have your hand raised, so please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. A few small points, or maybe not small. In the sentence just after the two diagrams, what does that say? I'm having trouble parsing it, and both because there seems to be a grammar error in it, and I'm not sure the meaning of the question mark. So it says excess funds resulting from the application versus the floor should be distributed back to applicants or use to benefit and to no other category.
Sorry, it's supposed to be another category because we had the list of categories, and I did correct that already on the online version.
So it's and not to another category?
No, to another category.
Okay, so there's no question mark there then. I'm not sure what the question you're asking.
It's the list of the categories below, so I should clarify that. The list we had so far on the categories were those ones listed right below. So I'll clarify that. Sorry.
Okay. Up above it says, if the floor value is, if the application costs are less than the floor value, then the application fees will be not distributed back to the applicants, but using one of the methods below. But one of the methods below is distributed back to the applicants. So that middle one, the third one, doesn't seem to be appropriate there, since these are the methods you use if you don't distribute back to the applicants.
Yeah, I caught that as I was reading it as well. So I've updated the document.
All right. My larger point is this discussion is fine until we start plugging numbers into it. And it could well be that if we decide on a floor value which is significantly higher than the actual costs, then there's going to be a lot of money. And it's not clear to me that this is going to be a sufficient way of getting rid of it, and I use that term carefully. Moreover, given the current financial models for ICANN, it's not obvious that that's the wisest way to use the money either. So I'm just wondering, when we start plugging real numbers into this, this may make a lot less sense than it does today. And I'm not quite sure how we cover that without actually starting to put numbers in. Thank you.
Thanks. Jim, please go ahead.
Yep, thanks, Krista. Jim Prendergast. Just a point of clarification on aspects for further discussion. I missed the last call, unfortunately. When you say ICANN become a registry of registries, what does that mean, and what does element to be offset by cost actually mean?
Feel free to anyone to jump in and correct me. It was, are we okay with ICANN just having so many registries out there that it in turn itself becomes a registry of registries? And maybe Jeff wants to jump in there as well. I see you have your hand raised.
Yeah, thanks. This is Jeff Newman. So this is something that's been brought up by Akram a couple of times, and I thought we should at least address it, which is that Akram's worried about ICANN not setting limits on the number of TLDs that can be delegated, because he's worried that ICANN will then itself become a registry of level domain registries. And it does, or at least according to Akram, it's not sure that that's something that the public wants. I think what the second part means is that, look, if there's some sort of floor, that floor is substantial enough to discourage or prevent warehousing squatting, which is referred to in the first bullet, that it should reduce the perception of ICANN being a registry of registries. So I think that's what that bullet point is supposed to mean. Thanks.
So if I could just follow up on, I'm not asking you to speak for Akram, but is it can we characterize what he has said? I don't remember where he said it, so if you can, you know, if there's a recording of it or something, just email me offline. I'll go check it out myself. But it sounds to me like Ockram's concern that ICANN is allowing too many new utility registries. Is that accurate, or am I missing something?
So,
yeah, Jeff. I don't think he's concerned at this moment that there's a problem. But I think, again, I'm not trying to put words in his mouth. And the last time I recall him saying it was in, there was a conference at The Hague. I think it was called Brands and Domains, where I remember he mentioned it. But I'm sure there's also points that he's mentioned it at public meetings. I just can't recall which one. And perhaps maybe this is something that Steve, Emily, Julie can follow up on to see if they can get more information about his concern. So I don't think it's a concern right now, but he's worried if that there are tens of thousands of new registries that ICANN itself will become a registry of registries and therefore may be perceived by the public as or the community as being conflicted.
Got it. Okay.
Thanks. Alan, I see you have your hand raised.
Thank you very much. I've never heard Ockram say these words, so I'm not going to pretend that I'm characterizing what his concerns may or may not be. I've always read these words a little bit differently. Now, a GTLD registry is in the business of, and a profit, in most cases a profit-making business, of selling second-level domains. With the new GTLD program, we are effectively selling first-level domains. We are a registry of registries, de facto. We are putting entries into the root, and that's the way you define a registry, into a DNS level, and that's the way you define a registry. I understood the concern that we are doing so much of it that it essentially becomes our main business. And, you know, instead of being worried about the security stability of the DNS, you know, let's sell more domains. And that's the concern that I thought we were trying to protect against. And I think it's worded particularly badly since we are de facto a registry of registries. But that is what I took it as. It shouldn't become our main business. It should be something that we're doing for the good of, we believe for the good of the internet, but not why ICANN exists as such. Thank you.
Thank you. So going back to any of the questions, are there any suggestions on how we don't do this with, I guess, numbers or another aspect around that? And are there any other aspects in the further discussion items that we think we should axe off the list or that we would like to address? Jeff, is that a new hand?
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
Yep, thanks. This is, Jeff Newman. I think that, and people could tell me if they think this is kind of a crazy suggestion, but perhaps we should clarify what factors should be considered in setting a floor, one of them being an attempt to prevent warehousing, squatting, an attempt to, or perception of ICANN being a registry of registries, risk, all that other kinds of elements. And then perhaps the recommendation is that, and this is the part where I'm a little bit unsure because I'm not an economist, but is it something, do we recommend that a economist or group be be retained in order to take these factors and help us come up with an appropriate floor amount using those funds. And I don't know if that's something an economist could do, but it seems much there has to be or has to be some sort of experts that could take concerns, look at costing, and look at potential scenarios to make a recommendation as to an appropriate floor amount. But I could be way off. I don't know if that's something the ICANN community could do, but it seems to me that there should be some experts in being able to help us set that floor. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff. If you scroll up into the discussions, there's a whole list on things or items that we've discussed already on the application fee floor and some of the considerations. But Donna, I'll let you go ahead.
Thanks, Krista. Donna Austin from Newstar. So, Jeff, the idea of engaging an economist has me screaming on the inside because I think, you know, I think we have acknowledged previously that this is a really difficult discussion. And I know Alan said that, you know, once we get into the numbers, it will become even more so. And I tend to agree, and I think we've agreed that previously. So what I was going to say, and Krista has referred us back to the bullet points that we discussed during the last call, which are the rationale for a price floor. And I think Sarah and I suggested that these could become the principles in terms of setting that floor. And I'd also, we need to keep in mind that we've already gone through a process with an amount of $185,000. And we know that there are excess fees that are sitting out there as a result of that. We also know that even if the fee was set at $185,000, that, you know, there were 1,900 applications. We don't know what the demand is that's, you know, potentially sitting out there for another round and whether $185,000 is going to be an inhibitor to, you know, multiple thousands of applicants or, you know, whether that's a reasonable fee or not. So I think we've had these discussions, and part of my frustration is that, you know, we're getting into this discussion of these issues for probably a fourth time, and I understand that that's part of the process, but what we don't do well is recognize where we've agreed an outcome, come back to that outcome and see whether we agree that we still agree on that and move forward. One of the other things I'm concerned about with this discussion is this is the second time that we've had this discussion with a smaller group. And what I mean by that is that most of the folks on the East Coast aren't part of this, nor are folks in Europe. So I think it might be really helpful to this discussion if we had input from those groups as well. So I'm a little bit concerned that, you know, we're discussing things that we've discussed before, but we kind of need to... We need to have this discussion with our fuller work track group. So I'm sorry, I don't think I'm providing much of a way forward, but I don't know that an economist is going to help us, and I think that if we go down the path of wanting to engage an economist now, that's probably an additional 12 months' work, if not more, to try to go through what we're doing here. So I think if we can come up with some principles, I think that's a great way to go. I think we've had some really good discussions about the floor and why, you know, and those dot points that we have there are the reasons for the floor. If we can agree principles, I think that will be a great way forward, and then maybe we can have that conversation about what the numbers look like.
Thanks, Donna. We did actually have this this topic scheduled for a different time and was trying to address that, but we changed it for some other reasons because we wanted to make sure we had some feedback on the next topic, and we pushed it back. So we did actually consider that. I understand your frustration. Jeff, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, and thanks, Donna. From your comments, I realized I did a very poor job of explaining what I meant. I think the factors are good. The setting, the high principles are great, and that's, we should not re-go over those. That's not what I meant to do or suggest, to having to go over those. What I meant is I didn't want us to get bogged down in being the ones to apply the principles to come up with the actual number, and that the recommendation was to recommend that an expert come up with that number so that we ourselves don't waste time on trying to come up with whether that number is 100,000, 90,000, 50,000, or 150,000. That was my point. So I'm trying to move us forward saying, right, our recommendations are these are the principles that go into the setting of the floor. Our group is not going to set this floor. We recommend that financial experts are utilized to help apply these principles that we've set out into coming up with the actual number. I think, so hopefully that's a little bit better said and more clear, and not recommending that we go back or have an economist review what we've already done. That was the only point I was trying to make, and I did a bad job. So hopefully that was a little bit more clear. Does that make sense, Donna, or am I, it's late here, so I apologize if it doesn't make sense.
Donna's typing, and perhaps I've added to that as well, is I put example numbers in there trying to make it more understandable, but I'm happy to take them out and just leave words as well. And Donna says, yep, okay, Jeff. Going back into the chat, Kurt says, I think is the registrar of registries, and Diana is the registry. Notwithstanding that, it is, if the policy question we're discussing, should the number of new TLDs be capped? That seems like a difficult and perhaps not valuable discussion. So, and Trang says, ICANN org's finance team can assist with that work as well, Jeff. So, we only have a few minutes left, and, sorry, Steve, I didn't see your hand. Go ahead, please.
Thanks, Krista. This is Steve Chan from staff. And I actually just wanted to touch on the point that Kurt mentioned. So I thought about whether or not I wanted to bring this up, but there's an overarching issue about whether or not there should be a cap on applications, whether that's at an overall number of applications or a limit on applications from any individual corporation or organization. And so the preliminary outcomes, I think, from those discussions that the working group was not interested in placing limits on either of those two categories. So I think there's a touch point on the overarching issue there. And then I also just wanted to also touch on the point that Jeff was raising. People are probably already aware of this, but I just wanted to make sure that folks are understand that recommending that researcher surveys are as a recommendation of the work group is a permissible outcome. It doesn't have to be pure implementation. It can be additional work that ICANN needs to conduct in order to ultimately develop the implementation. So just wanted to point that out as well. Thanks.
Thanks, Steve. Jeff, you have your hand raised. Please go ahead.
Yep. Thanks. So can we add as an action item, maybe Tran can help us for Steve, is to make sure that we've captured Akram's concerns and that we are accurately, or that we are addressing them. I just don't, for me, it would be tough for us to come out with a preliminary report and then have Akram still expressing those same thoughts at different in different places. I want to make sure we've captured his comments, addressed them, so that we can move past that. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff. It's Krista again. We're a minute before the hour, so I won't jump into any new subjects, obviously. Just a reminder, our next call is on Tuesday, January 16th at 2000 UTC. And if anyone would like to add any comments right to the document, please do. We've shared the link with everyone so that we can kind of make further progress on this in a hopefully a more efficient way, so we avoid some of the frustration that we're currently facing. But, Sarah, do you have any other comments that you'd like to add? Typing. Nope, I'm good. So with that, thank you, everyone, for your time and feedback, and we will hopefully hear from you on the January 16th call. Thank you, and have a good night.
Thank you, Bruce. Bye.
Thank you. Meeting has been adjourned. Have a great day, everyone.